Hey, what's up, everyone? This is Sarah.
Hi, I'm Liz.
This is the It's Fine, I'm Fine podcast. Okay, so I just want to kick this off by saying I have been talking about doing this podcast for so long. And to be completely honest, it's so nerve-wracking starting a podcast. If you've ever tried one, you know how scary it can be. And I think it's important to just say that because the whole point of this podcast is to be real and to be authentic. And so I've been freaking out. But here we are. We're sitting here in my living room, excited to talk about these things that we feel are important to discuss. Do you want to kick it off by introducing yourself and me and how we know each other?
Sure. So that's actually pretty funny because we know each other through a podcast. I'm Liz. I am 23. I live in New York. I'm from Philadelphia. Go Birds. And I'm really excited to talk to Sarah today. We actually met through the Morning Toast podcast. Shout out to them. They have like a bunch of different subgroups on Facebook, and we connected through the Jewish one, and we went to Torah study together, and we have been friends ever since, and I'm really excited to help Sarah with this because I think what she's doing is super important.
Thanks, Liz. So that is how we met. We met through a podcast. And Liz and I tend to get into deep conversations a lot, and we're very real with our emotions, introspective, we talk all the time about how we're feeling, why we're feeling that way, and what it means to be feeling that way.
What does it say about us?
What does it say about society? So I don't have a following, and that's totally fine because that doesn't matter to me.
It's fine.
It's fine. I'm fine. What matters to me is talking about real emotion, talking about anxiety, talking about day-to-day struggles. And yes, people have started to do it, and it's becoming a lot more common to be real about everyday anxieties. But I don't feel like we're there yet. I think that when I first started realizing I actually had anxiety, like a diagnosed anxiety, I had no idea what it was. I had never even heard people really talk about it. I knew one girl who said that she was anxious all the time. And I was like, yeah, I feel that way too. But I didn't really know that it was a thing. So I took it upon myself to ask my mom if it would be cool if I could see a therapist. And obviously my parents, who come from France and really never spoke about their emotions in their family, they found it extremely weird to be talking about such taboo and secretive things like your emotions and your anxiety. They were like, we don't speak about that. That's, you know, obviously my parents, I don't want to discount the support that they've provided me my whole life, but right, they just weren't used to being so raw and open. And I knew that the only way I was going to be able to understand why I was always feeling this like anxious, hard to breathe, stomach hurt type of feeling was if I actually spoke to a professional about it, because at the time I really didn't think other people felt that way. What's your experience with this?
It's interesting because like I have a completely different perspective, but I think both are important. Like my parents are so open about mental health and talk about it all the time because my whole family has like really gone through struggles with mental illness. And to some extent, that's great because, you know, when I'm feeling anxious, I can talk to my parents about it and it's something that they understand. But to some extent, it's not great because like when you have parents who go through mental illness, it's like it makes a relationship challenging. But I think it's important that we have like these two perspectives because like you said, so many people are talking about it. So there is, you know, a larger conversation around this issue that is happening now, but there are still a lot of people who are not really getting it, not understanding. There might be people our age who are in interpersonal relationships where one party has anxiety and the other doesn't, and the other person may not know how to handle it. Mm-hmm. So like I think it's important that we get these varied perspectives of anxiety and how relationships work around it.
It's weird. I was actually home the other day and I was talking to my parents about my anxiety, and I was telling them how passionate I am about talking about it, mm-hmm, because I'm such an advocate for people being honest about it and open about it, because I feel as though it really helps when you're open and honest about your anxiety. I think that it makes you feel less alone.
Yeah.
At least it did for me. And my parents literally said to me, and again, this is not, they weren't trying to be mean. They
no
weren't
hate,
trying,
no shade.
No hate, no shade whatsoever. My dad literally said, that's great, but don't mention it at work that you see a therapist. Like, just don't say it.
Yeah.
And I was like, why? And he was like, you know, I just don't want anyone seeing you differently. Like, I don't want anyone think that you're incapable of your work.
Right.
And I was like, why would anyone? And to me, because I'm so outspoken about this, I was like, wait, one has nothing to do with the other. Like,
right.
Yeah, maybe sometimes my anxiety can be, you know, it can
be debilitating. It can hinder your work.
Yes, but it can hinder your work. But the more we talk about it, the easier it will be to overcome the struggle of having your anxiety keep you from living your fullest life, if you will.
I think he's definitely from a generation of people who think that going to therapy means that there's something wrong with you. And we still live in that generation. Like, you have anxiety. What's wrong? Like, what's wrong with you?
Yeah.
And, like, yes, anxiety doesn't feel good. And we should try to, like, combat it and filter it when it comes into our brain. But it's not, like, it's not, it doesn't make you, like, a bad person or a person who's unable to accomplish things.
Yeah.
In fact, it can, like, make you better. But, Sarah.
That's how I feel, yeah.
What did you want to talk about this week?
Thanks for asking, Liz.
Sure.
So I think it's really important to cover the topic of happiness, and that might sound generic, but it's really, there's a lot to it when you think about it. I'll just start by asking, how do you define happiness?
Loaded question.
Definitely.
I think my happiness is certainly unattainable. It's like, when I think of myself being happy, I think of myself having money and being around, like, family and friends all the time, but still being in a cool place. Like, my family lives all over the Northeast in America, and, like, my boyfriend doesn't live here. So, like, if we were all in one place, it'd be great. We'd be so happy. That was a thing, you know, 5 years ago. And, like, just like any period in your life, you go through waves. So I guess happiness for me is sort of hard to define.
If someone were to say, like, what's your ideal future where you see yourself being completely happy, what does that look like?
I would probably have, like, a few kids and a job and somehow be able to, like, manage both of those things seamlessly and, like, look great while doing it and still being able to, like, give everything all my energy. And obviously that's, like, not a thing that I think a lot of people have, even when you see women having jobs and having kids and looking like they have it all together. Like, I'm sure they really struggle with those things. So it's hard to define happiness. I think that for me, it's sort of about, how do I make those unhappy moments more doable? Like, how do I level those hard moments so that, you know, you can get through it and get to the happy stuff? I don't know if there's, like, a moment of happiness that could possibly last for forever.
I don't know why, but I feel like I'm always saying to myself, I can't wait to find my happiness. Like, I know that once I'm married with kids, that's when I'm going to be happy. For me, I define happiness as having a successful marriage. And honestly, I'm learning quickly. I mean, I'm single, but I'm learning that being married has nothing to do with your happiness. Yes, maybe it will help you have happy moments, but I don't think it necessarily means, okay, well, she's married, so she's happy. In fact, the older I get, the more I learn how not true that is. But I think growing up in my head, I was like, well, I'll be happy when, or once I have this, I'll be happy. I've been really trying to think about happiness differently and say to myself, like, I'm not going to be happy once I have something or once I achieve something. Yes, it's important to have goals. And yes, it's so important to always strive for more happy moments. But I think I've just been trying to shift my perspective and say to myself, happiness isn't necessarily something that you can just get. It's not like you can really go buy happiness. You
think you can, though.
You think you can. And that's something I've struggled with for so long. I've always said to myself, like, why am I not happy? I put so much pressure on myself. I'm always like, why am I not happy? Like, what do I need to do to be happy?
And right.
Like, if I, like, am trying so hard and I'm still feeling unhappy, it's like I'm so hard on myself. But if we shift our perspectives to be like, okay, being at a constant state of happiness doesn't exist.
Well, because you need to have those hard moments in order to have happiness. If everything in life was just going to fun concerts, like, the concerts would no longer be fun.
Right.
And so as hard as it is to, like, put yourself in the, when you're in those situations, when you're feeling sad and you're feeling anxious, like, you're not gonna be able to say to yourself, I am anxious, but like, it's okay because I need to feel this way in order to feel happy. Like, that's not how you cope with it when you're in it. Mm-hmm. But you can look back and reflect and say, wow, like, what a relief to get to Friday because I had that really challenging week. Like, that's why Friday is so fun and happy. If every day was Friday and like the next day was the weekend, nothing would be fun about it. And then we would need a different Friday to like get relief from all of our Fridays.
Yeah, that's so true. I think it's really hard in the moment, as you said, to be like, oh, but this is just a tough moment because it's going to add up to the better moments. And it's so hard to think that way when you're actually struggling with something.
Right.
And I think for me, when I'm in those tough moments, I have to remind myself, like, it's not that you're unhappy right now, Sarah, or it's not that you were happy last year and now you're unhappy. It's like every day is its own day. Was today a good day or a bad day? And you don't even need to define the days by good days or bad days. You can just say, okay, I had some good moments and I had some bad moments, and like enjoy the happy moments as they come, as opposed to being like, oh, right now I'm happy.
Well, it sounds like you're making yourself even more anxious because you're needing to use labels.
That's exactly what it is. I always use the label of happiness, and it puts all this pressure. I put all this pressure on myself, and I'm just like, okay, well, right now I'm not feeling like it's the best day of my life, right. So I'm so unhappy.
Right. Like, we already, as humans, have the biological and, you know, societal pressure of, like, it's good to feel happy because it feels good. But you also have this added layer of, like, well, I'm really anxious right now. Like, does that mean I'm not happy? Like, mm-hmm. It's sort of this external judgment voice of, like, well, this is how I'm feeling, but I'm just going to make that worse by trying to, like, tell myself that how I'm feeling is, like, defines who I am.
Yeah.
And that is spiral city, which is bad.
I think it's just tough because a lot of people will say, like, are you happy? Or, like, you know, she seems so happy. I hear that all the time. He or she seems so happy. It's like, you can't really say that about anyone ever. He or she seems so happy. Because they probably, when they posted that thing or they posted that video or, you know, you saw them and they were smiling, they were probably in a good mood. They probably had something.
Or they weren't.
Or they weren't. Yeah. Or, you know, if someone really does seem happy, it's most likely because, like, in that moment that you caught them, things were good.
Things they wanted to capture a moment.
Right.
Or, honestly, things were not good and they wanted to, like, convince people that they
that
were.
They were happy.
Convince themselves that they were. Like, that is such a huge part of social media, which is why I think it's important that a lot of people have started to, like, peel the layers back of what they're experiencing. Mm-hmm. I don't think that at any moment Instagram is going to become a place where, like, people are constantly bearing, like, their most vulnerable selves. But I like the fact that more people are starting to talk about, like, hey, this is a, like, decent picture of me, but, like, I, you know, I'm having a hard time.
Yeah.
Or this is a not-so-decent picture of me, and, like, this is who I am. I don't always love it, but, like, hey, I'm here.
Yeah.
Because the more that you start to see other people on your feed that are being, like, themselves and not just posing and being happy and, like, looking how you want to look, the more you start to realize, okay, that's not reality. Mm-hmm. Like, we can all talk to ourselves logically. Of course, every single picture that we see on Instagram is not an accurate reflection of what's going on in the world. But, like, that's – images work in a way that, like, they go into your brain and you think that that's everything because you're scrolling for 2 hours. So your brain, like, processes these pictures as, like, the outside world. Because you're just looking at your phone.
Yeah, I mean, for me, the fact that Instagram is such a highlight reel and – I don't need it to not be a highlight reel. Like, I like sharing my happy moments with others.
And you like seeing other people's too. Like, the fashion, the beauty.
And I like seeing my friends and their experiences and their happy moments. Like, I enjoy it. I don't need everyone to be, like, suddenly sad on Instagram.
Right, totally. No, I don't want that either.
Yeah. I just think it's important to note that even though people are going through these happy times or they have happy experiences or right now they are loving their job, they're killing it at work, that does not necessarily mean every other thing in their life is going perfectly. And I don't want people to feel like happy experiences and happy moments mean that everyone else is quote unquote happy.
Right.
And that you're just unhappy. Because I feel very isolated when I see that everyone around me is so happy. And it's like, it's not necessarily that everyone's so happy. They're just posting about their good moments. And I too have great moments, even though it doesn't feel like everything's going perfectly for me in my life. I also have happy moments, and the more I recognize those moments and the more I recognize like, oh, that was great. Even when the subway is on time, I'm like, that was awesome.
Right. Well, you know? That's the thing. Like, that's what I'm talking about. You wouldn't be so excited that the subway was on time if you hadn't experienced all the times when the subway wasn't, or you had to like get on the subway and be crushed by the humans around you. Like there would be no such thing as feeling happy that way. So like, that's important because it's good that you notice that like when the subway comes on time, it makes you happy.
But I've had to actively, even
it's been work
the
for you.
Subway has been work for me, like true work of being like, yes, the subway just made it on time. Like, I'd say a couple years ago, I was so anxious all the time that I wouldn't notice the good little things. Like, right. I would just, the subway would come on time and I'd be like, finally, you know? Whereas now I'm like, that's great. That's so cool that that just happened. Or someone's like, hey, there's free food at work today. I used to be like, thank God, I'm starving. Now I'm like, yes, I don't have to spend money on food today. And it's like, the more times that you actively say out loud, that's awesome. You then, it literally tells your brain that you're having great moments throughout the day. And then you can go home and someone's like, how was your day? And you're like, honestly, like it was pretty good. Like there was free food at work. And even though the day was stressful and, you know, I don't have everything in my life that I define as like what I need to be happy, it was a great day. And so overall, I'm in a happier mood. I'm feeling better about myself. I'm feeling better about my life because I actively took the time to acknowledge the good things that happened.
Right.
As opposed to being like, okay, well, I don't have a boyfriend. I don't have this. I don't have that. So I must be unhappy right now. Okay. I think this is a really good time to kind of talk about what we do in the day, kind of just to put a smile on our faces.
Totally.
Like, you know, I think that it's like easy to say, well, yeah, you know, just think positive thoughts.
I actually think before I say like what makes me happy, I think it's really important that you train yourself like when you're feeling happy to be like, this makes me happy.
Yeah.
Not just for the purpose of like expressing gratitude, which will ultimately make you feel happier, but because you can then store those things like in the back of your brain so that you know, okay, I'm not feeling good. What were those things I told myself again?
Right.
The more you tell yourself like, hey, this is like really cool, this is making me happy, mm-hmm. the more those things will stick in your brain as resources you can go to the next time like you're not feeling so great.
Yeah. And honestly, with the subway thing, the subway for me is a great example because I do that every single day. Like if I'm in a bad mood and the subway, you know, is like on time, I will use that as a way to be like, okay, today might not be as bad as I thought.
It's a little victory that can like help get you through.
Yes, little victories.
Right.
Exactly.
Okay. So what are some things that you will do during the day if you're not feeling so great or if you're feeling mm-hmm. anxious? What are like the quick things that you might do?
Yeah.
Feel happy.
So, you know, if you know me, which if you're listening to this, you've probably seen Jonas Brothers somewhere on my Instagram account or whatever it is. Whatever it is. I love the Jonas Brothers so much. They make me so happy. And people ask me why all the time. And I think a big part of it is because they bring me back to my teenage years.
Totally. It's nostalgia.
It's nostalgia. And like, not only do I love their music, but they bring me back to a time where I didn't have bills to pay and I didn't have worries.
Right.
And so anything Jonas Brothers will immediately put a smile on my face.
But sorry, do you associate like having bills to pay and having adult responsibilities with like not being happy? Or is it just something that you can easily like, it makes you feel a sense of responsibility that often makes you feel anxious or depressed? Like,
yeah,
do you think you were super happy as a kid? Like when you look back at your childhood?
That's a really, really good question. Very intellectual. It's funny because I look back on videos of my childhood, which I did the other day with my parents, and they were like, you were so happy. But I don't remember waking up being like, wow, woo-hoo! I am so happy.
What
like,
a way to start the day.
Yeah, every day,
no.
You know, it was just like, ugh, I have school, wake up early, have homework, stress, whatever. So it's like, I never was just like, wow, this is the best life ever. I was just like, you know, it's not that I associate bills to pay with unhappiness. It's that
your metrics change.
It's very stressful for me. When I think about money and I think about having to pay off a lot of the medical expenses that I have to pay off and like all these things that are, you know, I feel like are on my own shoulders. Like there's no one else around me being like, let's work through that together. It's kind of like, you know, you get the bill in the mail, it says Sarah on it. I'm like, well, that's me.
Well, so your metrics changed. Like when you were
My define, yes. The way I define
when
happy.
You were unhappy in a moment, it was because you were hungry and people weren't feeding you. You weren't getting attention from your parents. When you were 12, when you were unhappy, it was maybe because you were being like excluded from a group of friends. Yeah. You felt anxious around a boy that you might have liked. Like,
exactly.
And now you might feel unhappy when you feel stressed about paying for something. You might still feel unhappy when it comes to like a boy or feeling excluded, but your metrics just change. And I think that is important to note also when we're comparing ourselves to peers, like, when you compare yourself to people that you see on Instagram, like you look at Olivia Culpo, she looks like she has this incredible, beautiful life. Like she's stunning. She wears the best clothes. She has all these cool travel experiences. Mm-hmm. But like she also experiences unhappiness. It's just like her metrics are different. Her focal points of unhappiness might be different than yours. Or they also might not be. Yeah. Like she might feel sadness or stress because she isn't, you know, with the boy that she likes. Someone rejected her. She didn't get a job that she wanted. Like, she also has to pay bills. They're just different bills.
Yeah. It's taken me a really, really long time to understand that. I used to think, like, I really was, like, brainwashed and truly believed when I saw these, like, celebrities on Instagram with, like, they're so beautiful, the best clothes.
Right.
And
literally billions of dollars.
Yeah, billions of dollars. I was like, what could they possibly be unhappy about?
Totally.
And like that might, like saying that back, I'm like, that's so, like, why did I ever think that way? Of course, they're human. But it's really hard in the moment when you're scrolling through Instagram and you see, like, you know, all the things that in my head, I was like, well, if I had that, I would be happier.
Right. But don't you think there's also people that might look at you in your life who don't live in New York City, who live far away?
Oh, for sure.
Or maybe older than you, not able to experience the things that you're experiencing, like with going to Jonas Brothers concerts, going to Maren Morris concerts.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, that's why I think it is such an individual thing.
Yeah.
Like, that's what I was saying earlier is, like, people always seem happy when you're looking at them from the outside looking in.
And from the lens that, like, they want you to look at them
from. That too.
That you build for yourself.
But even just, like, some of my friends who I know what they're going through, and I still think to myself, like, okay, well, they have these certain things that I really want, so they must be happy. It's just, like, such a – you can't really ever define people as happy. It's
no.
Like, it's not like, oh, that person's happy. It doesn't exist. So, I don't know. I think – for me, I'm just speaking to my own experiences, but you're absolutely right that, like, when I was younger, being happy was different than what it means to be happy now. And I think that just paying bills and whatnot is just, for me, it's not that I'm unhappy. It's just that there are stresses in my life that do bring me anxiety. So when I see the Jonas Brothers on my Instagram, for those 2 seconds, I forget about the stresses that I have. And it kind of, like, relieves some of my anxiety, lifts, like, weight off of my shoulders.
Right.
And for those, like, 2 minutes, I'm so excited. And then the more, like we said before, like, the more we acknowledge those little moments that make us excited or happy, it's, like, the more you look back and you feel more fulfilled or you feel more happy overall.
Or at the very least, like, you can just get through those hard moments.
Yes.
You just have to get through them. Like, they are temporary. They don't last forever. So having
nothing
those,
does.
Like, having, right, exactly. Like,
that's the
happiness
whole thing.
Doesn't last forever either. So when you get those moments of, like, feeling anxious or feeling sad, if you can try and honestly distract yourself for a little while, I know that might not be, like, the best advice that a therapist would give you. Like, you're not supposed to distract yourself. But, you know, if you're doing all the things you're supposed to do, talking to yourself, explaining to yourself, this is temporary, you also just, like, need a little bit of distraction, and the feeling will go away with time.
Yeah, and I think distraction is good. I think it's not – don't push it away forever. And
no, you have to acknowledge it's there.
Yes.
But that might not necessarily make it go away.
Yes.
So, like, acknowledge it's there. Why am I feeling this way? Well, I'm feeling this way because I'm anxious about this bill that I have to get paid. Am I going to work? Yes. Okay, great. Like, there's nothing else I can do in this current moment.
Mm-hmm.
So what can I do to distract that busy part of my brain to, like, get through this anxious time?
Exactly.
And, like, for me, I love watching Heather McMahon's Instagram stories.
She's so funny.
Like, basically a comedian on Instagram, and she just, like, fills me with so much joy. Like, her stories are very simple. She doesn't, like, politicize or make anything too heavy, and that's, like, why I think I really like her and I'm drawn to her, because I just, like her shtick.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of the things, like, as small as it is, that I stick in my brain as, like, this is making you smile, this is making you happy. So keep it there, keep it in your, you know, keep it on the back burner for when you're feeling anxious, you're feeling scared or sad. And, like, you know, don't forget, acknowledge, why are you scared? Why are you sad? Is there something you can do about it?
Yeah.
If you did everything that you can do, or you did your very best, and you're still feeling that way, which chances are you probably will be, considering, like, emotions can be biological and chemical. Like, they're not necessarily going to go away even if you talk yourself through them. Yeah. Okay, what's, like, this coping mechanism I can use, however small it may seem, to, like, get me through this moment and get me to the next phase of emotion.
Yeah. I've been trying to shift my language because I used to say, like, what makes you happy? Mm-hmm. And I've tried to shift that to what brings you joy. So instead of saying what makes you happy, because
that's like a permanent state.
Yeah. What makes you happy is like, oh, like, that just made you happy. Great. Now you're happy.
Right.
It's like, what brings you joy in moments that aren't so, like, exciting or fun or, you know, like, in those low moments, because they do happen, what can bring you joy as opposed to, like, what's going to just make you happy? Because that doesn't exist.
No.
So, yeah, I don't know. I think it's really important to just shift our perspectives and to just kind of force ourselves to think differently, because I know for me, when I've been in really low moments that are going to happen, I used to think like once I get that happiness, that's it. I'm happy. But it's like, then you're, like you said, your metrics change.
Right.
Then you have the thing that you thought was going to make you happy.
And then you want the other thing.
Right. Because now you have it. Great. That's your happiness. But now something else is going to make you feel like you don't have enough to be fully happy. So it's like, okay, well, what can I do to just bring me joy in moments that aren't so easy?
I think, like, where the mental health piece comes in is...
Yeah, where does the mental piece...
The mental health piece comes in when it's, like, you are talking to your therapist or a friend or someone you trust, and it's, like, I am at this job, and it's killing me. Like, every day I come home, and I'm crying, or I'm at my job, and I have to leave my desk multiple times a day to cry. Like, is this normal? What do I do? Mm-hmm. I think it's about striking a balance between how do I filter these things in my life that are unchangeable so that I can get through it easier, so that, like, my life can be a little bit happier. My metrics can change so that I can get to a better place in my life. I'm not going to say, like, to a happier place in my life, like, a better place. Mm-hmm. You don't ever have to be at a miserable job crying all the time.
Totally.
But sometimes you will have a job that you tolerate and you like, and it makes you cry. Mm-hmm. You might have a friend or be in a relationship with someone that you love and they're good, but they make you cry. So I think a lot of, like, what the work that you do in therapy is, or when you're talking to people that you trust, is trying to figure out, like, is this something that I change about my life because the metrics are too low? Mm-hmm. Like, this range of emotions that I'm feeling is not healthy? Or is this something that's just, like, it's my life and I have to filter it differently?
Yeah.
Like, you might have a relationship with your mom that's like, hey, you know, I'm not really going to cut my mom off. There are plenty of people, I'm sure, who do cut off parents' relationships because they are toxic, and I'm not, there's totally no judgment there. But, you know, I think a lot of the time people might not have the best relationship with their parent, but they're not saying to themselves, like, okay, I need to, like, get rid of this piece of my life. It's like, no, how do we make this better with action and communication? But also, how do we, like, filter these things so that our metrics, like, are better met.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how, when my mom may say to me, like, hi, just calling to check in, that might not be a big deal to some people, but in, like, my metrics, that might be, wow, like, what a great thing that my mom just called me to check in on me.
Totally.
That might not be something that I'm used to.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, that to me is a great thing.
Yeah.
And you can't compare yourself. You can't compare your metrics to other people.
Mm-hmm.
You have to constantly, like, evaluate
exactly,
you know, where your range of emotion is, and, like, those little things that make you happy.
Yeah. I think when I was at my last job, I was always telling myself how unhappy I was because I thought that I was seeing all these people around me with jobs that, again, it made me think that they were all so happy in their life because I thought that they just, like, had their dream jobs. And so I was like, man, I really need to, like, leave my current job because I'm so unhappy and go to a different job. And then I started a new job and I was like, wait, I'm still stressed. And, like,
totally,
it's still a job. It's literally a job. You're right. There's a balance between acknowledging what you can actually change in your life to bring you more joy, or, like, some things just aren't meant to be, like, the most fun. Like, a job isn't really meant to be, you know, like, the best experience of your life. It's literally, like, you're putting in effort to get money so you can survive. And it's just, like, once I started shifting my perspective, being like, okay, well, this is work, And I stopped putting all this pressure on myself. The moral of the story is I put way too much pressure on myself in my life to find that happiness. And I really shouldn't do it. But it's just taken me a really long time to be like, okay, like, how do I acknowledge how I'm feeling and how can I improve the situation? Or if I can't improve the situation, how can I accept that, like, that thing in my life isn't necessarily the best
thing. It's not indicative of, like, what your whole life is.
Right, and it doesn't make you happy or unhappy. It's right. just life. Basically, all of this is just life.
I think that you need to feel what you're feeling and try to discount that external judgment voice that's like, well, how would, like, these people be doing at their job if they were experiencing this? It's like, how are you doing?
Yeah.
Like, how are you feeling? You just got a task that's super annoying. Like, you don't have to then compound that bad feeling by saying, like, well, I wonder, like, if this person at their job is also, like, getting those tasks. That's, like, human nature, of course. Yeah. You have to train yourself
to not think that way. I've literally asked people before, hey, do you ever, like, not like your job? Like, people that I think love their jobs.
What do they say?
They're just like, yeah, duh. Like, it's a job. Like, they're, you know, some people love their lives. They love their job. Even the Toast. Like, you know, like we said earlier, Liz and I met through being fans of the Morning Toast.
Totally.
Even Claudia and Jackie, when they're just like, yeah, we love doing this. Like, this is our dream job. But then recently, I feel like they've been talking more about, like, well, it's work. Like, we're on our emails and typing away. And
of course.
There's commitments. And sometimes you just don't want to wake up in the morning and, like, go to your job. Or even, like, respond to that email or do something because you know that it's, like, your way of – that's how you make your means to live.
Right. And that all comes back to, like, you can't have those happy moments without the hard ones. Like, and when you make your job something that you love, it's still a job.
Yeah.
And I think they – like, definitely have so much fun on their show and they like it, but it's like they have had to go through a lot of different challenges to ensure that they, like, they were brought enough joy. Like, their metrics are different than yours and mine. They're not better or worse. Like, I think about this with Kylie Jenner all the time. Like, what makes her unhappy? Like, but then you literally watch the reality show, which, don't get me wrong, I know it's, like, heavily produced.
But they talk about it.
They talk about it. It's like she has everything in the world.
Yeah.
This was before she had Stormy.
Yeah.
And, like, that's the thing. Like, she had Stormy, and she always talks about how it's, like, I didn't know, like, who I was before I had this kid. That's not to say, like, oh, you need to have a kid to be happy.
Totally.
But she felt this void of emptiness. She had everything in the world, like, fame, money, power, like, family. She already had a huge family, sisters, relationships, and she felt this void. And, like, now she has a kid. And I'm sure she would still say, I have this kid, and I love her, and I'm so happy I had her. But, like, I still have moments where this is all really challenging for me.
Yeah.
Like, no matter how much you achieve financially, with family, everything, like, humans cannot exist without feeling that sense of sadness.
Mm-hmm.
Because if that sense of sadness wasn't there, then happiness wouldn't be there.
Happiness begins.
We're just chasing it.
We're chasing
happiness. Chasing happiness.
Yeah. I actually am really glad you brought up Kylie Jenner because I think about her a lot, and not just because I love her, but also because in my head, I'm like, she has everything.
Right.
Because to me, I've always defined, in my head, I always thought that once I was married with kids.
She's not married. Interesting point.
Oh, she is not married. You're so right. But she has a loving
partner. She has a baby and a partner and a fucking huge family. Like, that's the dream.
Yeah.
Tons of cousins.
Yeah. She has a huge family, a huge wallet, and she has a baby. And I literally, and I don't know if that's because the way society taught me as a woman who was raised in the 90s, like, that equates happiness, but, and that's probably a huge part of it, like Disney movies and the whole thing.
Totally.
But, like, I see her and I'm like, she has what I want. Like, that's what I want. And it's just, like, so funny because it's like, there were probably parts of my life that she was like, I'm so jealous of her. Like, she gets to go out to the mall and just, like, wear sweatpants and look terrible and, like, go to sleep that night. And, you know,
when you think about it for too long, like, I start to feel very existential and depressed about how, like, I love Kim Kardashian and Kylie Jenner. Like, I think the same thing. They have everything. Like, what could they possibly want?
Yeah.
But then I'm like, they can't go anywhere.
Yeah. And sometimes, I'm like, so? Like, I want to be famous.
Totally.
But I'm like, the amount of times I walk out of my apartment looking like I just rolled out of bed because I just did. And I don't care.
You don't care because no one's going to, like,
no one knows who I am. And I'm never going to see these people again. God, if someone took a picture of me on what I felt was, like, my worst day, and posted it online, I would be really upset without my permission.
It's interesting because I often think about like the first time that an incident, like a picture like that was taken of Kim, and she was so self-conscious of like being pregnant, and she had a really challenging pregnancy, and like these pictures came out with her, and they were like, the tabloids were horrible mm-hmm. and so hurtful. And like, she wasn't even that as famous as she is now. She was like just getting together with Kanye, and like her star was rising. I'm sure she felt so horrible, and like that the world was going to end. Just like if you and I were in a similar situation and someone we knew in our like community of people posted something that was really mean about us, like mm-hmm. but her metrics are different. She's Kim Kardashian. So like when we think about like, oh, you know, the Daily Mail posted this horrible picture of Kim and they're saying all these nasty things about her, it's like, yeah, it still hurts, and it's like crazy that the whole country is talking about it, but it's like her metrics are different.
So I want to talk real quick about the title of, is that what it's called? The title? The name of this podcast.
The titular words.
Yes.
How do we make this as many words
as possible? The combination of words that people are going to
refer to
one day,
talking about this thing that we're producing.
The conversation we're having, which I will then post on a website for others to listen to. So what others call that a name. The name of this podcast is called It's Fine, I'm Fine. And I want to touch on that because it all really comes back to the conversation we have with ourselves. Like at the end of the day, when you say it's fine, I'm fine to someone, you're not actually talking to that person. You're talking to yourself. And I actually recently was watching a movie and this guy was just like, it's fine, I'm fine. And you know, you could just tell on his face that he was not speaking to anyone but himself.
Right. It's like a trope that's used to display someone who's clearly like going through it.
Yes.
It's like, it's fine, I'm fine.
Yeah. It's literally a way to tell yourself, it's fine, I'm just going to push this away right now, or like not think about it, or I'm going to tell someone else I'm fine because it's easier to just like shoo away the topic because you don't want to think about it anymore.
It's interesting that you're saying that because this is like kind of exactly what you were talking about, which is like, okay, I'm going to describe this current emotion I'm in. It's fine. And then you're going to describe like me as a person in my life. I'm fine. Mm-hmm. Like, which is one of the things that you experience is like one of your anxieties.
Yeah.
It's like, well, not only am I anxious in this moment, like I am maybe not like the person who I think I, like who I want to be.
Exactly.
I'm fine. But like, you're not. And it's okay.
And that's fine.
And it's fine. And I'm fine also. Like, we're all fine.
I'm fine.
I'm fine. I'm fine. Don't worry about it.
But yeah, it's really like saying it's fine, I'm fine is really just a way to convince yourself, convince others that everything's okay when you don't really believe it yourself.
Yeah.
I don't even necessarily think that saying like everything's okay means everything's great. I think saying everything's okay can also just mean accepting that everything's not okay and that's okay.
Right.
You know, and I think that when people say it's fine, I'm fine, it's kind of a way to shoo away anything that is upsetting
like
you.
Heavy.
Yeah, that's
shoo
heavy.
Shoo away the heavy.
Shoo away the heavy.
And you don't want to like have those uncomfortable conversations with people when they're asking you how you are. Like,
oh, yeah.
If you're disheveled and someone's like, are you okay? You're like, it's fine, I'm fine. Because you're not going to be like, no, everything's falling apart. And, like, I'm gaining weight and like I can't find someone who loves me. And also like, what the fuck? Like, and I live in New York, this worst city in the whole world. Like, you're not going to go on that rant to someone. Although, you know what? Here, I think people would, like, probably get it more than anywhere else in the world.
We were actually just, if someone in the subway station, I clearly have a lot of experiences in the subway. If someone were to ask me in the subway station in the morning on my way to work, how are you? I probably would not respond with, good, how are you? I would just be like, you know what? I'm pretty stressed right now.
Trying to get to work. I haven't been able to get on either subway that's come. Like, then I have to get on the subway and it's
nuts
to butts.
My cousins are from France and they think it is so hysterical that Americans say, hi, how are you? Like you walk into a store, hi, how are you?
No one cares like what you're answering.
But you're never going to say
Do you ever walk by someone that you know and they're like, hi, how are you? And you're like, hi, how are you? And like, you keep walking. Like no one even cares what your response is at all. Like why do we even say that?
It's so funny and true.
Hi, how are you? Okay, bye. Like,
hey, what's up? Hey, not much. You? Like, it's so awkward.
No, you know what's the worst? Hi, how are you? Good. How are you? Good. How are you? Like, you keep doing it. Like, and then you're just like, oh, I mean, I just asked, haha, like, bye. I'll never see you again. Like, and then you text your friends anxiously, like, I just ran into this person. I didn't know what to say. Like, it was so awkward. Haha. Like,
or like, Thanksgiving Eve. in my town. Oh, yeah. And a everyone's lot of people's town. Towns.
Yeah. It's Blackout City.
It's literally Blackout City. And it's like the one day a year you see everyone from your hometown. And it's so funny because all you ever say to people, hi, how are you? What do you do now? How have you been?
Wouldn't it be scary if someone was like, that's a thing. You'd be so off-put if someone was like, I'm not doing great. Like, you'd be like,
how the hell do I respond?
Like, fine.
It's like also like, if I, what?
I don't know. It's probably Rent the Runway, honestly.
Oh, it's fine. I'm fine. It's actually just so funny because everyone in my town on Thanksgiving Eve is like, oh my God, how are you? And it's like, what am I going to answer? Well, honestly, not great. I'm going through a breakup and, you know, it's been really tough for me. And like, they don't want to hear what it would be. I could just sit down with them and they're not just going to sit down with me and be like, you know what, let's leave the bar. Let's talk.
Unless they do. Like, honestly, that would just be great. Try it one time. If everyone's drinking, like, let them flow. Let the drinks flow and let the feelings flow.
My cousins from France think it's so funny how people...
Wait, where are they from?
France. Why are you making fun of me? Got it. Clear. Aligned. So my cousins will literally be like, je comprends pas pourquoi. They'll literally be like, I don't understand why you guys walk into a store and you say, hi, how are you? And they're like, what are you going to answer? And I'm like, I don't know. You usually just say good. That literally puts it into everyone's minds that, like, you just all have to be good all the time. You know what I mean? Like, the amount of times that you walk through the street and just say, hi, how are you? Good, how are you? It's like you're constantly lying to yourself. Not that you aren't good, but it's like, what's with every single day? Just being like, good.
Like, my brothers, like, do this thing, and because they're little, and they'll be like, I'll be like, Ethan, how are you? And he goes, nothing. Eric, what's up? Good. Like, because they mix up the words that you're supposed to say for each of those questions. Like, so there's two answers and they got them wrong.
Wait, it's actually also funny. What's up? Nothing.
What? Like, who came up with that? I like, it's just an icebreaker for a conversation, but now we need an icebreaker for that. Yeah, because, like, that's not an icebreaker anymore.
Hey, what's up? Now my language has turned into, hey, what's up? How are you? I just don't really like the language that our society's, it's all part of that narrative. How are you? Good.
You know what you should start saying when you walk into places? Hey, what brings you joy?
What brings you to what? Life?
What brings you joy?
What sparks joy for you?
Hey, and if someone's like, hey, what makes you happy? You're like, fuck that. What brings you joy?
Hey, what makes you happy? What do you mean? You mean to say what brings me joy?
Like, because, I'm actually, like, that's, we don't use that.
Yeah, we're not labeling happiness. Like, just stop.
What did you just say?
Yeah, what was that? Hey, what makes you happy? Excuse me? I do quickly want to just say that it's fine, I'm fine, is, like, if you feel the need to say it, say it.
Wait, I'm going to interrupt you because I think it's important. Like, it's fine, I'm fine is a great summation of, like, what our society is and having to explain yourself away. Like, when you're not experiencing good things and you have to explain, hey, like, it's fine, I'm fine. Like, we're all good. You don't need to talk to me about this. I don't need to talk to myself about this. Like, we're all good.
Yeah, it's
but
all
it can
good.
Also be, like, a totally flipped idea.
That's
like,
what I wanted to say.
That you're anxious and things are shitty and, like, you might not like your job or you might be single.
You covered it.
But it's like, it's fine. I'm fine. Like, I'm here. I'm breathing. I got some good friends. I'm fed. I live in a great city that doesn't make me anxious ever. Just kidding. It does.
That
like,
is exactly.
Fine. I'm fine.
That is literally exactly what I was going to say. I was going to say, it's fine. I'm fine. Right now is used as a way to avoid what's going on. But when you literally, and by lack of a better term, grab your life by the balls and be like, this is happening to me. The cojones. You grab your life by the cojones and you say, this is happening to me right now. And yeah, it sucks, but that's okay. And it's fine. It's fine that that's happening.
And you know? I'm fine.
And I'm fine. I'm going to be okay. Happiness is temporary. Bad things are temporary, and things might seem like they can never get worse. I've been there. Trust. I have legitimately been in the state of mind where I say, things will never get better. And now I look back and I'm like, I can't believe I ever thought that way. Not because my life suddenly improved immensely and so much has changed since that moment. Actually, at the time, I was in college going out every night when I was depressed.
Right.
And now I have a 9-to-5 job where I have a lot more responsibilities, but it's you know, I look back and I was so sad. And it's not like my life has changed that much. I just...
Right. Like, your circumstances haven't necessarily even
they
gotten
haven't
better.
Even... No, not at all. They've...
Like, the way that you were viewing those
the way I've viewed
so
it,
different.
The way I've worked on myself in therapy, the way I've talked to myself, I've changed the way I talk to myself, the way we have our conversations with... the conversation you have in your own brain is the most important conversation you'll ever have. It is literally what gets you through the day. So, should we wrap it up?
We should wrap it up.
And with that, I'm Sarah.
I'm Liz.
And it's fine. I'm fine.
It's fine. I'm fine.
We just high-fived.